Loretta, good morning.
Good morning.
February is almost here, and with it, it's a Mother's Week. It's lots of celebrations, offerings for those auspicious occasions for Orville. And this year, you are preparing something special. Can you tell me more about it?
Sure. Every year at this time, I do an exhibition on some subject of Mother and Sri Aurobindo with their photographs. And this year it came to me to do something on the mother's yoga in the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so I went through the whole agenda to pick out mother's yoga, because the agenda is like a tapestry of stories. There's a line that goes through that Sat Prem Sadhana. There's a line that goes through what's happening in the world. But the main line is mother's yoga, and she talks about it a lot. But in each date that she talks to Sat Prem, she talks about many different subjects.
So you have to really pick out of that and follow that.
Yeah.
The yoga, in your case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you prepare the series of the talks, but it's also going to be exhibition on that?
The exhibition, the talks support the exhibition.
So it will be exhibition.
There will definitely be an exhibition. There's always an exhibition. And actually, I wasn't planning on giving any talks, but Tridivan asked me, would I give some talks? So these come, and they support what the exhibition is trying to do. Because what the exhibition is trying to do, or at least what I think I'm trying to do with the exhibition, is to bring more of what Mother did so that people can do it. Mm-hmm. So the exhibition itself, and of course I wanted to put out a book, like I always do, because people, there's so much written on the walls and nobody can actually stand there and read from beginning to end. I shouldn't say nobody, but it's hard for a lot of people to.
It would be exhibition of paragraphs.
Exhibition of progress. Exhibition.
No, I mean of paragraphs from the book, from agenda.
Yes.
Oh, so you really need some stamina to do that.
I don't know how it got done, because what happened is I started reading, and I would pick out something, and then I would say, no, this is too much, and I would cut it down and all that. And I got about halfway through, and I realized that I'd made a mistake, and that I really had to take all the information that Mother gave. So I finished it, and then I went through it a second time, and I ended up with a book, a two-volume set of 900 pages book on the Mother's Yoga coming out of the agenda.
You will publish two volumes of 900 pages, so it's...
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, I mean, whoa, I
somehow I was hoping that it's a shortcut, you know, like, okay, so and so.
Well, it is a shortcut, because yeah, then out of those...
900 pages is not...
No, that's not a shortcut.
But for us as a Aurobindo, so whoever aspired to be a Aurobindo, either in the body here or in outside somewhere, and still yoga is the mother's yoga, the integral yoga is the main part,
right.
Correct?
Right, that's right, that's right. So then from the books, I took out for the exhibition. Mm-hmm. So of course there's not 900 pages on the walls. And I also cut down some of the actual quotations. I tried to make it so that it was really a nice line to follow, and you get kind of the really high points. And then I thought, how do I know what are the high points? But you have to do it. And so we've done that. So the talks are, there are five talks, and I went all the way back to the very beginning of the first published book that Sri Aurobindo and the Mother put out for the sadhaks in the ashram to do the yoga. And that's The Mother by Sri Aurobindo. And I took, because in that book, there really is the essence of the practice that you do. And when you go through the whole agenda, and the agenda is 13 volumes, that is what Mother is doing over and over and over again each time. and she comments on it, and she says, "This worked only when I did the surrender, and this was my aspiration." And so the basic way of doing the yoga is in the Mother by Sri Aurobindo.
There is going to be 5 talks supporting the exhibition and the followed by the book. So these talks begins on
26th.
So does all of the dates are Saturdays.
All the dates are Saturdays. There are 5 talks. The first 3 are on the first 3 chapters. And then the 4th one is on Sri Aurobindo's yoga as he tells the story in Savitri.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because he uses the yoga of Savitri's father, King Ashwapati, to tell his own experiences.
And those talks will be in Savitri Bhavan, of course, at 5:30.
5:30 every Saturday, starting on the 26th, in Savitri Bhavan. And we have something really interesting in this exhibition, which kind of goes with the 4th talk. There's a man in the ashram named Richard Hartz, whose job it has been all these years to decipher Sri Aurobindo's handwriting. And he works on Savitri. And he's an expert scholar on Savitri. He just knows so much. And he's so erudite. He's such a scholar that his writings are very high and scholarly. And he wrote a 108-page paper on the progress of Sri Aurobindo's yoga through Savitri. But I didn't know that. The idea came to me how nice it would be to have something that showed how Sri Aurobindo changed and progressed in through the writing of Savitri. And then I found out that Richard had done this work. So I went to him and I told him I needed something for people where English was not their first language. You know, people who...
So it's a basic English, yeah.
So it's in English. But if you took what Richard wrote and put it on the wall, it's not really understandable to people whose first language is not English. So I told him I was going to rewrite what he said. But I couldn't sit there and read that 108 pages and figure it out. So I asked him to give me 3 parts of Savitri in 3 different time periods. So we have 1 part where Sri Aurobindo writes about something, and then 10 years later he writes about it again with his new realization, and then towards the end he writes about it again with his final realization. And so I went to the archives and I sat down with Richard, and he put these up on the screen and he just started talking, and he's just like a waterfall of information, wonderful facts. So I just scribbled down all these facts and I took them home and I rewrote them as simply as I could, and I sent them back and he kind of filled them in so it's a little more scholarly, but it's very readable. And so we have an exhibition in the exhibition, which is Sri Aurobindo's progress in Savitri, in his realization of the role of the mother, of the Divine Mother, and in his realization of the conquering of death. So, and it's thrilling to you get these facts. I mean, he gives little facts like Sri Aurobindo wrote on old account books. And I've got photographs of these original writings, and you see them on the ledger paper with the number up in the corner and the lines and stuff, and all kinds of nice little facts. And then you get really strong information, like what the new difference is in the Divine Mother, and what it was like in the beginning, and what it's like in the middle, and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that supports the 4th lecture. And the 5th lecture is on the mother's yoga in the agenda. And, you know, in an hour or so, I can't go through 1956 through 1973, but I can talk a little more about the agenda and what it is, and again, some of the real highlights, because you can follow Mother changing. And I think you have to read it very quietly, because it's all new stuff. You don't know what all this stuff is. And so you're reading this and reading and reading, and suddenly you kind of put two things together in your understanding, and you realize what she's doing, and you realize what an amazing work it was.
Yeah, but with those, all these texts and whatever somebody is doing, it's the same as with the prayers. You read them once, you maybe understand some, but reread them and reread them, and maybe, you know, after a few years, then you all of a sudden you can see.
Yeah.
As they're saying, you know, when one is ready, the teacher is there, so that then you realize what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah, more and more.
And since you were really dwelling into that, it's probably came to you, okay, that is that, and then you can connect.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. As far as I can tell, the whole point is just to become nicer and nicer. The whole, I mean, anything.
So we should send half of our women to study, just to study.
or whatever they need to become nicer and nicer, because anything else blocks the force. That becomes the final thing, you know. Anything that blocks the force, it's better not to have it, because what's happening now is the force is coming, and it's coming so strongly.
Yes. And the children are more aware than anybody else.
Yeah, of course they are. They're not all fogged up.
No.
I'm constantly finding things in myself, patterns of feeling and thought and stuff that are truly useless and truly outdated.
But I just remember. Is there anybody in Oroville, you don't need to say the name, but do you personally know somebody who really maybe surrendered that way, that it completely transformed him or her?
Sure, except I can't say completely transformed, because Mother said completely transform is, I mean, 300 years in the future, or, you know, centuries in the future.
At least, you know, transform in the way of the basic views of somebody,
sure,
see the things or do or act, you know?
Sure, sure. I see
people.
Sometimes
I was wondering, and then somebody would say, you know, we are all evolving, but for some, you're looking at them year after year, and you're not really, it's going to happen, or...
I think it's not seeing it so much as feeling it.
Mm.
You kind of get it in their atmosphere.
Mm.
That they're moving on. And I think there are actually a lot of people, but we don't connect with a lot of people because they're from different countries. They've come here at different times. They're doing different kind of work. But I think in many, many, many places in Oroville, there are people that are getting whatever they need to change. Because the whole point, in a way, the whole point of the whole exhibition and the whole book and the whole lectures and everything is that if we are open, that force changes us. And that force means the new thing that's coming into the creation that was embodied, as it happens, by Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And we get it better if we can, because we know something about it, and whatever they've done, whatever they've said, carries that force. And if we can touch that or read that or see their picture or hear it, it just changes us. It's very mysterious. I mean, how do we know what it's doing? We don't. We only feel the result.
You cannot really measure it. It's happening, but you might see, or one day you get up and you realize it's different. But then you cannot measure that.
You
cannot measure, not even in ourselves, not in others.
No, you can't. You can look back.
Yeah, you can reflect, then it's more visible.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's an open-ended movement. Mm. And it's so far, far beyond the limitations that we've been in. I'll tell you, doing this book, which I can hardly remember doing it, I don't even know, is because I couldn't sit there and read every word of the agenda. You don't know how to explain what makes the choice, but suddenly you know. And I got to the point where the book was getting ready for publication, and it had a lot of kinds of mistakes where I would shift things over from the computer and I would make mistakes and printing errors and stuff like that. And I asked Marlenka to edit it for me, who works in the radio, Marlenka, who does the news, because she does editing.
Yeah.
And it just affected her so strongly. I mean, it has given her so much to be...
She was doing that last four months?
It hasn't been 4 months. I guess it's been two. Why, did you notice a change?
Huge change,
right? Yes. I mean, you could see it. She just like blossomed like a flower. It's like her whole being was just waiting for this opportunity to open up. And it was wonderful for me to see it. And she's just having a wonderful time doing this work. Well, you can ask her about it, you know. She'll be glad to tell you, I'm sure. It's any touch of that. It's really... It's more than anything else that we want, somehow, to feel like that.
It's the question how to, let's say, run from the everyday tasks and works we're doing and find the time to really go deeper in that.
I think Mother says that you're supposed to be doing it while you're working, which means that in the beginning... I think you make yourself take breaks and you just ask, you know, please let's have that force now. Mm. And if you keep doing that, there is something in the mother, it's not in the first three chapters, but as I remember, it's in the chapter 6, and it says there comes a point where you find the divine Shakti doing the work in you. And you are that power itself. And I've had moments of that. I never did before in 40 years. Mm. But I've had very brief moments of that where it's just that. And that's totally satisfying. I don't want to go back and be the personality that was born when I was born and grew up. I don't even want any of that. I'm just, that thing is comforting and satisfying. And that's what the mother says in the agenda when she talks. And we think this great, huge, powerful force is coming down. What is it? And then mother says, you just feel satisfied. And you just feel contentment. And on 1969, January 1st, 1969, this new being manifests. And mother talks all about it. And then she says to Satprem, did you feel anything? And Satprem says, oh, I felt a great contentment on that day. And Mother says, yes, that's it. And you can hear in her voice, oui, c'est ça, that's it. Mm. And it's just, it's a kind of rest. It's a kind of rest from the torments and a moving on. And so you think, you know, why isn't the whole world just wanting to get out of all the torments? And I guess it's because they don't know. They're stuck. But then, of course, the traditional yogas say that they're running after things of the senses and running after material things, and so their focus is turned out.
It's completely different.
It's completely different. We have to live much more of an inner life. It takes a lot of time, and it depends for each person.
Lots of patience, you know, like, it's not... visible right away. It really takes some kind of dedication and really faith that it will work, you know?
Faith, but I think that's the word.
When it comes, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then I realized it also comes in the circus. It's not always there. You have to be patient again, and then it hit you.
Yeah, yeah. Mother says that what it is that different parts of the being get it, but other parts of the being don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, mankind seems to be so unbelievably complex that just whoever we are, the organization that a person is,
they're just like... Nobody doesn't make it easy.
No, it doesn't make it easy.
We could, and we still go on complicated, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, even here, we complicate so much for so many things.
Well, new people come. That's the thing. You just asked if there are people who are really doing it. And what we see before us is a great crowd of Oroville, many of them who haven't been here very long. And then the ones that have been here a long time have been able to get more of it, and so they're more kind of cooled down, as it were.
Okay, let's go back to what is ahead of us next month. The exhibition and the talks. The Savitri Bhavani will be open again whole days with the probably orchids, I think, because
lots of orchids.
A tradition and it's really beautiful.
Yes, the guy in Pondi who gives us our orchids has found some better treatment of his orchids, and they are so healthy. I've seen them. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful and fresh and healthy. And this year, of course, there was no adverse weather conditions, so they're going to be absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
That's one part. And what I wanted to ask you is, are children from the schools are coming to that exhibition, or you will have some special short, let's say, edited versions, talks for them?
I do have something. I don't know if it's for children, and that has kind of bothered me a little bit. Because this is a subject I don't know how you would talk to children about, except that if they come and I start talking, it comes out and it's always right. But, I mean, this is not something you encourage children to come to see on that level. It's beautiful, of course. We're going to have beautiful...
Some children are more than ready.
Well...
I wouldn't say that all, but some are. It's just that you have to... If you use the words, you have to cut it down into the pure essence.
Yeah, which is what happens when I talk. Well, it'll be open to children, and the schools like to bring them. It's an outing, and it's beautiful, and the atmosphere is there. But I did, in fact, put out something special that will be playing at the exhibition. We have, in going through the agenda, I noted that there were a couple of places where it was written, Mother Speaks in English. Mm-hmm. So I listened to those recordings, and there are three recordings where Mother is speaking in English, not in French, and I've taken them, and I made them into an audio CD. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Mother's Yoga. The first one is Mother reading a letter by Sri Aurobindo on the material mind. The second one is about how the material mind is a kind of block, the mind of the cells. And then, but when it finally can receive the force and really change, it's a great help. Mm-hmm. So the second English thing is Mother talking about how her cells learn how to deal with illness. And it's really cute the way she talks about them and her response to them. And she says at one point where the cells finally get to the point where they say, "Oh, you are trying to teach us a lesson." And then Mother says, "I was very happy." But it's really sweet. And then the last one, she talks about how this consciousness comes down in her at different times during the day.
Supermental.
And she doesn't call it that. She said the thing that she goes through, the realization that she goes through, is the understanding of how the individual can be the supreme at the same time. Mm-hmm. How it's the individual becomes the supreme and the supreme becomes the individual at the same time. And then she says, as she most always says, that the words don't really say it. But that's the experience, and she says it comes at different times to show her that it's completely independent. She says it comes when she's brushing her teeth and stuff like that. So
that is it's going to be a CD we can buy.
Yes, it will be a CD you can buy. What I've tried to do is put it with things from Savitri readings, mm-hmm. and Sunil's music. So there's an introduction, and in between each one and at the end, there are different things that Mother's reading from Savitri. And God knows how those things came from Savitri. I mean, to go through all those volumes of Sunil's music and find it, it was just a miracle how they all came. And it sounds pretty good, and I'm actually decided to produce 1,000 of them.
Oh.
So that they're just, they can go out.
Cool.
So there's, remember 2 years ago, I gave those 5 talks in Savitri Bhavan?
Yeah.
It was, at that time it was on the supramental transformation.
Yes, I remember that.
And all of those I actually took from the agenda. And they were, for me, the really peak powerful points of what happened in the agenda. And I didn't know the agenda as well as I do now, but somehow that's what came out. And I always wanted, I promised them to the radio right away, if you'll remember, and they never came here. And I could never get them edited. Somehow nothing came together. And for this talk, it really, suddenly it all started happening. So we have
a puzzle,
a confluence, like a coming together from all the different sides. So for this exhibition, we have the exhibition on the Mother's Yoga, we have the inside exhibition on the Sri Aurobindo's Yoga, we have a 2-volume set from the agenda, we have Mother's CD with her 3 English talks, and we also have, and this is going to go out for sale, those 5 prior talks. And the first one is on the supramental ship.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, talking about what the meaning is of the supramental ship. And
you will put them on CD or print.
They're going to be on CD, mm-hmm. And I am putting them out for sale. It's hard to know if people will buy these, but I'm just putting them out because if one person really gets something, then that's what they should have, and I think that's the most important thing.
But I think there are many people who are interested in the mother, Sri Aurobindo. I mean, I know they are.
It's out there. It's going to be out there. Taken quite a bit of time and trouble to try, because the sound quality is always a problem. But we've done our best. The second talk is on the mother seeing that our psychic being goes all the way through the evolution and becomes the supramental being, which I thought was so relieving for everyone. Because, I mean, it's such a mystery. We really don't know what we're doing, which is all on faith. And Mother has the experience where she sees the psychic being of one of her disciples, and it says to her, well, you wanted to know what the supramental being would be like? Here it is. This is it. And she has that realization, which means that who we are and what we are and what we've always been is actually what goes forward. And, of course, Mother and Sri Aurobindo said constantly, we should realize our soul, our psychic being. It will make everything go easier. And now that all knits up together. That all comes together. And the third talk is on the time that Mother becomes the origin of the creation. And that's also an English recording, most surprisingly. And she's been extremely ill. A month before that, she's had a heart attack, total cardiac arrest.
How did she get out of that?
Well, it's interesting because up until that time, when people, you know, Sri Aurobindo left the body, and that was really devastating for the mother. It was really hard on her. And people would say, ask her things, and she'd say, Sri Aurobindo left me here. to do the work of the transformation, and I am here and I will do it. And then she has this heart attack and she says, it's up to the Supreme whether I'm going to live another day. Mm-hmm. And then this thing that comes a month later is like an answer, because her consciousness becomes the origin of the whole creation itself, and she is this. And it's great gusts, in the sense of breaths, winds, of gusts of love, each time manifesting the creation, each time. And she says something in there that's really fantastic. She says she hears a voice that sounds like Sri Aurobindo, and it is the avatar, the new thing, organized outwardly as Sri Aurobindo. So when you really think about that, you understand that it kind of, I don't know what the word is, coalesces, becomes, materializes from the origin into the body of Sri Aurobindo, who is carrying all of this in him to do the work. And that's what the avatar is.
It's supposed to be a...
That's what the avatar is. The avatar is the change, which means if we are the change, we are part of the avatar. So that talk has that long recording. It's a little painful to hear because she's really been sick, but it's very powerful. And then I found a couple more things on love, and that's in there. And then the fourth talk is on the Universal Mother, which is the mother doing her work in us as the Universal Mother, and who she is and what she does. And that's not a particular experience in the agenda, but it is some recordings from the agenda where she talks about that. And that talk starts with some of Mother's prayers and meditations where she's praying as the Universal Mother. And then the last talk is on the new being that manifests in 1969. And this new being is the personality that's going to be in those who go forward as the Superman, the intermediary being between us and the supramental being. But it also goes all the way through into the supramental being. And you can see that. And I track it all the way through, and you can see. And the thing you get, especially from that talk, is the reality of what's really happening on those deep and high planes that we don't see. So it seems like these talks are now going to come to the public, and once they're all ready, one by one they'll come to the radio and you can play them all on the radio.
Okay, so that is about it. We have to add something?
I'm trying to think.
It's going to be a full month of many things, and yet we can take time and go to Savitri Bhavan either on Saturdays or the day before, if nothing else, to see the orchids and catch the spirit.
And to just be in this wonderful atmosphere. Each exhibition has its own presence. And the
it's a year in between, or five, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Because I think we all feel it. That is something that is probably unavoidable, and it's pretty clear, even to those who are really living in third dimension only, but they can still feel it, I think so.
Yes, I think so. Everybody gets whatever their being can absorb.
Thank you, Loretta.
You're welcome. Thank you.